Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Certainly have been blessed by the service so far, and we expect to get more from God's Word. I would like to use the whiteboard this morning. I think the whiteboard might become a friend of mine here. It looks like it's going to be easier to use than the one at Blue Ridge. So we had a lot of things we discussed this morning, a lot of inspiration. And I don't mean to erase another person's work, but it is we are vessels that can take more in. So I'd like to just draw something on the board, see if I can. That isn't quite right, sorry. We'll get it here. So it's like this. Often like that. So you've gone to places, most of us have been to a place of interest where a brochure or a map is provided to navigate the premise. And somewhere as you navigate the premise, you'll come to a various points along the way. There might be an additional stationary plaque map with some type of symbol like this arrow or X. And then it will say, you are here. That's the title of the message this morning. You are here. So that place of interest may have been a corn maze, a botanical garden, or a zoo. And as you went through that, following your map, but you come to this stationary map that had this point, this arrow or this X, maybe a dot, but some kind of a caption that simply says, you are here. So as I think about that, and as you're going through that place of interest, this knowing where you are provides several things. It provides, first of all, orientation. It provides, secondly, ability to review. And thirdly, it provides vision. So the ability to review is the ability to look behind to where we have already been. So you're going through this zoo, you come to the stationary plaque, it says you are here. And you can compare with your map that you're holding in your hand, the brochure, and you can look at the stationary map and you say, okay, you're at the zoo. We've been to the lions, we've been to the elephants, we've been to the seals, and so on. You can review. Because of the X and be able to orient your or review, you know where you have been. You can review. Secondly, you can review. You can orient, and that is. I am here by the monkeys. I am here by the gorillas. Wherever that sign is, and also you can orient yourself in relation to the entirety of the premise. Often on that stationary plaque, it will have the entirety of the zoo. So you might be on the east side. You might be on the north side. You might be wherever it is, but you orient yourself. You know exactly now where you are in relation to everything else in the zoo. And then it gives you vision, or we could say foresight. And that is, we can become aware, because we are here, because we have reviewed, we've been oriented, and now we can say we have yet to see, what did we miss? We have yet to see the camels. We have yet to see the hippos. We have yet to see whatever it is. Review, orientation, and vision. Turn with me to Job 23. We have here, Job is struggling some, maybe more than some, but he has been going through difficult times, and his miserable friends have come and they've challenged him in many things, and excuse me, and they're not too sympathetic. They seem to think that he's done something wrong, at least most of them, and I didn't go through all of that. But Job has some questions, and I seem to see this in this in chapter 23, Job 23. Job is saying, I am here. You are here. He knows where he is. He's reviewing some things that have happened in his life. And he also has a vision for things that are going to be ahead of him. And that is so much a part of our life. There's those moments and those instances that the knowledge that we are here at the end of the arrow on the X, we're here. That might be good. It might be a good experience. It might be something that's delightful. It might be something that is not so delightful. It may be something that is very painful. Whatever it is, but is with sudden clarity, we know that we are here. And that knowledge comes upon us that you are here. I kind of see that in Job. I'm going to read the chapter of Job 23, the entire chapter. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He's talking about God. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, and neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. We see Job's questions, we see Job's testimony, and we see Job's confidence. The key verse, or the text verse, would be verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I believe that was Job's confidence. We see his questions beforehand. We see his testimony following verse 10 and that he is following God. That's where he's at. And yet he's not sure who this God is. And he has some questions. But whenever I look at the verse, but he knoweth the way that I take, I hear in my mind, you are here. And it is God saying it. God knows where we are. It is God that is speaking to each one of us saying, you are here. And I'd like to look at that first of all and in relation to the physical and material life. So you are here relates to the physical and material life. So just thinking of that. So you're here this morning and you may be married, you may be unmarried. You may be married and have children or do not have children. Your children are different. If you have children, they're different ages. You may be dealing with toddlers and behavior issues. You may be dealing with teenagers and behavior issues. You're at a particular place in family life. And God is saying, you are here. You may have good, fair, or poor health, whatever it might be. God is saying, you are here. It's relating to the physical and the material. You have a reality in finances. There's a reality. And God is saying, you are here. That's where you are right now. You have questions. You have a testimony. And you have also a confidence in something. Either you are not stressed, fairly stressed, or very stressed. I mean, now we're connecting with Kirby's point about anxiety. I want to ask for a raise of hands where you're at in that right now. You have wishes, hopes, goals for life. And most likely, you are in some measure of difficulty or struggle in something. And we can go on and on with all of these scenarios and all of the things that are first of all, I say, afflict us in human life. And we could list a great deal of things in the things that are very good and enjoyable in life. And so this is not a message. I'm not zeroing in on the difficulties or the afflictions. I want us to see our life in a broader sense, and that God is saying you're here in all of the things of your life. So secondly, the second area of the message is you are here relates to spiritual life. And I see this in verse 11 and 12, where Job's testimony is, he says, my foot hath held his steps. He's talking about his walk with God. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job, you are here. You're walking with God. And I hope that is our testimony. So as we think about God saying to us, you are here, there is a truth about our position with God. There is a truth about that. And as people, as individuals, as Christians, it is important that we know that truth of when God says you are here, that we connect with the you are here, that we orient ourselves with God, that we review our life, what we are doing, where we are going with our life, and that we also have a vision of where we are going. As we consider the spiritual, we do well to realize that there is an orientation within the orientation, and that there is a review within the review, and there is a vision within the vision. What am I saying? I'm saying that we can get so wrapped up in the physical and the material things of life that we orient, we review, and we have vision for all of these things. But what is most important is the orientation within the orientation, the vision within the vision, the review within the review. And that is the things of God. That is the things of Scripture. That is the things of relationship with God and all of holy living. So we need to realize that spiritual. So God is saying something about our physical material life. He's also saying something about our spiritual life. And he is putting an X somewhere and a little arrow and the words, you are here for each one of us. And I'm saying that the physical and the material must be subject to the spiritual. And I'm saying that the physical and the material only find purpose through and by the spiritual. The second point I'd like to bring out in this second area is a few questions. Excuse me. Beginning with, am I in God by Jesus Christ? And so there's some questions, there's some foundational questions that we need to ask ourselves, because God is saying, like I said, a little arrow, a little X, and you are here. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I in God? Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so it's right for us to ask the question. It's not only right, but it's pertinent for us to ask the question, are my sins forgiven, and am I in God through Jesus Christ? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And so when our sins are forgiven, there's a relationship that is established, and we are now in God through Jesus Christ. And the question is, God is writing that, has a little arrow, has that X. You are here. Are you in God? Am I in God? It's very pertinent. John 17:23 says it this way, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And so it is important as we go through life that we check our spiritual life, that when we are at these spots and we realize that God has put you are here, that we review, that we orient, and that we have vision. Next question is, am I in prayer? Am I in prayer? When we know God and our sins are forgiven, one of the things that Christians must be engaged in is prayer. As the songwriter says, the prayer is the Christian's vital breath. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. I believe it means being in the attitude of prayer. And I don't know if it's like this for you, but just lately, and in the last 6 months, year, 2 years, I don't know. I don't keep track of the time. But life is pretty heavy. There's a lot of things to do. And I find myself more and more saying, God, sustain me. Sustain me. I need your presence. I need your power. I need you to hold me up because there's just a lot of things to do. And this old body's wearing out. And I don't have what it takes to do all this. And there's where we need to be. Now, you know, some days you forget that and you start struggling through the day and trying to meet the demands of life. And suddenly it's like, okay, you know what? It's about time I cry out to God so that he would sustain me. You know, I need to remember that. But it's easy to forget that. But I am finding myself going that direction more. So am I in prayer? Are you in prayer? When God says you are here, little arrow, little X, are you in prayer? Are you in that praying without ceasing? John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. This is a promise of the divine to his children, to his followers, that when we're in him, which we talked about in the previous point, and we're in prayer, that what we ask, it will be done unto you. And it doesn't mean we can pray selfish prayers for material gain and material goods, although those prayers aren't always wrong, but we should be fixated on the prayers that bring spiritual strength, the spiritual fortitude, and spiritual growth. Those are the prayers that I believe mature Christians seek after and pursue. Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their trouble. You got trouble this morning? You got trouble in your life? You have troubling things? Take it to the Lord. And so the question is, am I in prayer? Is God able to say when he writes above your name, the spot where you are, that you are here? Next is, am I in service for the King? Am I in service for the King? And when I think of service for the King, I first of all think of holiness. Am I walking in holiness? Are my feet on the path of holiness? Am I expressing the fruit of the Spirit? Is it a fruitful life of walking with God in holiness? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life that I now live in Carlisle or Shippensburg, wherever you live, that I live in the body, I live in the physical and material sense, that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a difference. I am a child of the King, and I'm living for him, and I'm in service to the King. Therefore, I am walking in holiness. Am I in service for the King? Secondly, the spirit of brotherhood. Do I possess the spirit of brotherhood? I just thought of a verse in 1 Peter 2:17. Honor the King, love the brotherhood, fear God. I'm saying honor all men. It says, first of all, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. And so, is there a love for the brotherhood, a love for the people of God, a love for the brothers and sisters of God? And that moves on to supporting the saints. Is our love for the brotherhood so deep and so real that we support the saints? And like in Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We have a responsibility and a duty to one another in the spirit of brotherhood to support one another. Thinking of service to the King, are we a living and speaking testimony to the lost world? Matthew 5:16 says talks about a living testimony. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then 1 Peter 3:15 talks about what should come out of our mouth. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so there is a responsibility. And again, as we think about our life, as we think about the little arrow and the X and God's word above it, you are here, are we in service to this King? Is that what God is writing and he is depicting, or is it letting us know where we are? Is it in that position? Third area of the message, you are here relates to this congregation. You are here relates to this congregation. And each one of us come from different backgrounds, so we can review our life. You are here. We are oriented. We are getting oriented. Like Larry said, the new normal, it comes more slowly for some people, but at some point, this will be a very normal, regular thing, and it won't feel new. It'll feel, and I like routine. I like normal. New is not as exciting to me, at least some new things. Of course, there is new things that I enjoy. But this moment that we are experiencing at Starriff Gap and the establishing of a new congregation, it emphasizes a space and time. It does. And there's probably children here. I don't know which age, but there might be children here. And it's like, I remember being at the first service of Starriff Gap. You know, if the Lord would tarry, 60, 80 years from now, and they are very old, and all of the rest of us are passed off the scene. They're like, I'm the last one living that was at this first service of Starriff Gap. You know, the Lord tarried. That these things happen. That's the way. And at that time, they're like, a first service at Starriff Gap. I mean, it's been going for 80 years. I mean, new people can't wrap their mind around it. But as we are here, it emphasizes a moment in time. You are here. And perhaps we mentally process this moment in a more definitive way, a more definite way. It's not a rolling continuation of normal. It's new. You are here. You are here. This is where I am. This is where you are. And so we think about the path that led us here. Where did I come from? What is it all that God was doing? We talked about the sovereignty of God in the Sunday school class. What all was it that God is doing and has done? Where did I come from? And where am I going? And so the confidence that we have is the same as the Job gave in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And so that there's confidence in that. And when he hath tried me, and I don't know, in Job's experience, the word tried was, I would say, definitely related to the difficulty and the affliction that he was going through. But just living life has a certain amount of being tried. Not necessarily that it's an affliction and that it's negative, but as we go through life, there's choices. Good or bad, better or best. And so there's a concept in that as we live life, we are tried every day. And the choices that we make determine whether or not we are making the best or the better choices that we should be making. But Job's confidence goes further in verse 10. He said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. whether it's success in material, whether it's things that, whether the temptation comes because of great success or great material blessing, or whether temptation comes because of affliction or adversity, no matter where or how the temptation and the trials come, when he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. And so Job's, you can see Job's perspective was anchored in God, even though he had the questions in the beginning of the chapter, and he had his testimony of where he thought he was with God. He gets to the end of the verse of the chapter in 23, and he says, I'm troubled about all this difficulty I'm going through. And he says, I'm a little afraid of God. You see that in verse 15? I'm afraid of him. But he's being honest with his thoughts. For God maketh my heart soft. And that the word soft there, it don't have to do with making me necessarily humble, but it makes his heart quiver. He's a little anxious. Because in verse 17 is at the core of this. Because in my understanding, this verse is saying, is because God did not prevent these difficult times and these adverse times, this darkness that's upon me, because God didn't protect me from that, and he didn't cover me and protect me and my face from these difficult times, I'm a little afraid of him. I'm not sure what he's doing. I think that's what he's saying. And so we may face the good times, the difficult times, the adverse times, but he knoweth the way that we take. And when he hath tried us, we can come forth as gold. And so there is a past, a history for each of us. And it's a good time to remember the faithfulness of God. It's a good time to remember the sovereignty of God. You know, I started I'm in my fourth congregation now. I started as a little boy in the fellowship, nationwide fellowship setting. And about 18, we went to Calvary Mennonite Church. And the Pilgrim started. We had the very first service when Pilgrim started, and of the first service of the Calvary congregation. And then 2 years following that, Blue Ridge started, because Calvary, we were traveling about 45 minutes south. So we started at Blue Ridge. I was at Blue Ridge about 31 years. And now we're at Stairs Gap. And so there's a history for each one of you, where you came from, what congregations you were a part of, and the church life that was there, and all that. That's a review. But it's a good time to remember that God is faithful, and that he's sovereign, and that he's doing something. He knows the way that we take. And God has brought us all this way. And then there's a present time, a here and a now. And are we fully engaged in the things of God and for God? As we think about your life right now, are we fully engaged in the things of God and for God? And then there's a future. We talked about review, orientation, and vision. Where are we going from here? There's going to be a lot of opportunities. Life is going to go on in some ways very normal. In church life, there's some new things. But there's going to be opportunities for you personally. There's going to be opportunities for this congregation. And there's some of those opportunities we'll be able to embrace and to be evangelistic in that, and to reach people in this, and to do that, and to reach out to the hungry there, and to reach out to the poor there, and all of these opportunities. So there's a future. You are here. And there's if you were in that zoo and you have all of these things that you know you can go do and see and experience, it's a little bit the way we need to look at, I believe, church life being new here. We have so many things that we can be involved in. And let's be busy in the things of God. So where are we going from here? So in personal life, in congregational life, God marks an X, which is an irrefutable you are here. God marks that. It's from the Almighty. And may that little arrow, that little mark, that you are here, bring confidence to your heart, because it marks for you a place of obedience, a place of blessing, a place of aligning our will with His will. May God bless you to that end. Let's pray.